This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
71 degrees and partly cloudy in Chapel Hill, Carborough. We do have rain later on today, developing around 10:30 and continuing all day. Thunderstorms, especially in the afternoon, highs in the upper 80s. 7:07 here at WCHL Studios. I am not Ron Stutz, as you might have noticed. I am Aaron Keck, filling in for Ron today and for the rest of the week as he takes some much-needed time off. Good to be with you here in the studio today. With more than 900 arrests at Moral Monday protests in the last few months, it appears that our courts will be dealing with these cases for many months to come. But the Wake County District Attorney is offering a course of action that could make the process shorter for some of the arrestees, as well as the system itself. Wake County DA Colin Willoughby says arrested protesters can agree to a deferred prosecution, where one would agree to the court's punishment without necessarily admitting guilt.
We offered them deferred prosecution and treated the cases similar to other civil disobedience cases that we'd had earlier this year, like Occupy Raleigh.
In agreeing to deferred prosecution, a Moral Monday arrestee would agree to 25 hours of community service and $160 fine without having to admit guilt.
It's typical for nonviolent offenses to offer deferred prosecution.
With many protesters still awaiting their first court appearance, Willoughby says the DA's offer would not cut out the legal process entirely outright.
It's available to those persons when they come to court.
Among the more than 900 arrested protesters since these demonstrations began back in late April include members of the Orange County, Chapel Hill, and Carborough government. So far, though, only Michelle Johnson of the Carborough Board of Aldermen has had a court appearance. Well, Governor Pat McCrory signed the General Assembly's voter ID bill into law yesterday, making us the 34th state to require identification to vote. It's made national news. CBS just reported on it a few minutes ago. WCHL's Rand Northam with more details.
The bill requires a form of government-issued photo ID to be able to vote, not including student ID or out-of-state driver's licenses. As part of the voter ID bill, North Carolinians can no longer register on Election Day. Early voting periods are limited from 17 days to 10 days, and 16 and 17-year-olds who would be eligible to vote on Election Day are not allowed to pre-register. The bill also eliminates early voting on Sundays. Voters must give any updates about changes of address or other changes at least 25 days in advance of Election Day. The time polls can stay open can no longer be extended, even if there are long lines that will prevent everyone from getting a chance to vote. Political parties are now allowed to send 10 observers to different voting precincts to monitor voting on Election Day and give citizens the authority to challenge the legality of someone else's voting if they live in the same county. Straight ticket voting, which allows a voter to check a box saying they are voting for all of the Republican or all of the Democratic candidates on a ballot, is now gone as well. Voters who show up at the wrong precinct are no longer given a provisional ballot so they can vote properly. Individuals can now donate up to $5,000 to political campaigns, up from the previous $4,000. The bill was initially held in the Senate to see what the Supreme Court's decision in the Voting Rights Act case would be. With the Supreme Court striking down part of the Voting Rights Act in June, states like North Carolina, with a history of racially motivated voter suppression, no longer need federal approval to make changes to voting laws. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Still an ongoing controversy, though. The NAACP and others are pressing ahead with a lawsuit now after Governor McCrory signed that bill into law. Within hours of the signing yesterday, the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, announced that it and two other groups had filed a lawsuit challenging the legislation. No formal ceremony marking the signing of the bill. McCrory's press office sent out a statement saying he signed it, and it also posted a 95-second message on YouTube giving his reasons, it would take effect in 2016. Well, back in Chapel Hill, the town just spent $16 million to expand the town's public library, the one at Pritchard Park, but the part of the newly installed stormwater management system began to fail even before the library opened. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has the story.
David Tuttle lives on Estes Drive. From his backyard, he says it's just a short walk to Pritchard Park, which surrounds the Chapel Hill Public Library. But he says lately, that walk is anything but soothing.
I almost try to avoid walking back there in the woods, because to walk through there now and see just, you know, what's happened and then that nothing's being done to keep it from, you know, getting even worse is just real disheartening.
The recent flooding scoured the forest floor, wiping away low-lying vegetation and spreading silt everywhere. Those scenes of flood damage have become common since the June 30th rainstorm that dumped more than 5 inches in just a few hours. Tuttle says this is different. He says the new stormwater management system at the library began to fall apart before the flood, and he's got the pictures to prove it.
I saw where the rain garden structure right behind the library building had completely given way and had caused the entire area to wash out, go across to the greenway path that goes along there, and had deposited and headed down into the creek. So I took pictures of all that.
The pictures, dated June 25th, show an eroded gully where the side of the man-made pond intended to capture rainwater collapsed. The bioretention basin is the central feature of the rain garden at the back of the library. It's designed to slow down runoff and direct overflow into a stormwater grate instead of flowing downhill. It's also brand new, part of the $16 million library expansion project that was completed in April, which increased the library square footage by 35,500 square feet and added a second parking lot. But an email to town officials reveals that the bioretention pond began to fall apart as early as April 10th, the same week the library reopened. And according to a report prepared by the project engineer, 2 months passed before a contractor came out to inspect the damage. Shortly after that, in early June, summer rainstorms caused the embankment to crumble further, allowing water to wash silt and sediment into Pritchard Park. All that happened before the epic rain at the end of June that flooded parts of Chapel Hill. Pictures taken after that storm show sediment piled at the base of trees that escaped plastic fencing put in place as a temporary measure. John Holly, the regional engineering supervisor with the State Department of Environment and Natural Resources, was contacted in mid-July to evaluate the damage. He says the town will be responsible for cleaning up the forest.
I'm going to be asking them to retrieve the visible siltation that was lost into the channel and the affected area down below the basins. They had placed some silt fencing down there to try to capture it and keep it from continuing to migrate to the stream. And we're going to ask them to clean all that up as they do the repairs.
Holly says in the past month, the town has worked quickly to address the problems at the site.
The town has responded immediately and started cleaning up or putting in containment for the sediment and are working with their stormwater people to get the measures in appropriate shape. So as long as they're working with us to get that done, that's where we want the focus.
Multiple town officials, as well as the project engineer, declined to go on record for this story. No one would comment on the likely cost to repair the bioretention pond, the cost of cleaning up the park, or who might ultimately foot the bill. Meanwhile, David Tuttle is left wondering if the repairs will be enough to prevent this from happening in the future.
Are they just going to stay with these rain ponds, which are not meant to retain stormwater, or are they going to look at going the next step and finding a way to actually not pass more water down Olin Creek to Camelot Apartments and University Mall, which the library at this point is clearly passing basically all of its water down there.
Cleanup and repairs are to start this week and take 3 weeks to complete. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Since the story first aired, town officials contacted WCHL to emphasize that there is a detailed plan in place to repair the bioretention pond and that an independent soil engineering firm will inspect and approve the work. You can find out more about the timeline of events and the repair plan by viewing this story on our website at chapelboro.com. 7:15 here at WCHL Studios. Time now to move forward to our first look this hour at traffic and weather together. This traffic report is brought to you by Southern Season. Get a taste of tailgating on Saturdays, August 17th and 24th, the next two weekends, in the parking lot from 11 to 4 for delicious $1.50 sliders and special savings on deli sides at University Mall in Chapel Hill or online at southernseason.com. Now with your traffic report, here is Aran Northland.
Thank you very much, Aaron. We are seeing smooth traffic right now, I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway. Not reporting any accidents or delays at this time. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely. And there was a call just a moment ago. We've got a power outage, actually. Only 8 outages right now reported, so not a major outage. But if you are experiencing this, there are others along with you. There was a report in the area of Old NC 86, so it looks like right in the Hillsboro area, mm-hmm. right around Old NC 86. Now, there's just a few there. There's also a small outage reported just west of Chapel Hill Carborough as well. So a couple small areas seeing some outages this morning, and I'm sure the power crews will be on those quite quickly. We'll keep an eye on those for you as well. But if you're experiencing those, you aren't the only one. A few other people seeing it as well.
It kind of reminds me of the story that we ran yesterday, and it's neither here nor there, but the piece of information that 58% of all power outages were caused by weather. And I thought that number was so low that usually when you see power outages, it's because there's a storm outside.
Right.
But right now, weather's great, two power outages.
Sure,
so there
is.
You go.
Quite interesting.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that for you. Rand Northam, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, 717, time now for your weather report, brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. Whether you need a new watch battery, an engagement ring, or that custom piece you've been dreaming of, Grimble Jewelers is there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jewelers in the Village Plaza next to Whole Foods. Well, in spite of the power outages, the weather is great. 72 degrees right now and partly cloudy in Chapel Hill Carboro, 71 in Hillsboro. That is going to change later on, though. It's going to be a hot, humid, and rainy day later on today. 70% chance of rain. Rain expected to begin later morning. We were seeing around 10:45 for the start time. It's now getting pushed back a little bit, but expect to see later morning, early afternoon, rain beginning, and then thunderstorms in the afternoon. We'll have highs today in the upper 80s. Again, 70% chance of rain, but thunderstorms are going to be likely in the mix in the afternoon, so careful out there. Tonight, we'll have mostly cloudy skies with thunderstorms continuing in the evening, and then the chance of rain gradually diminishing overnight. We'll have lows in the upper 60s. Very slight chance of rain lingering into the morning hours tomorrow, and then a couple of nice days to continue the week. Wednesday and Thursday, we've got partly sunny skies both days. No rain in the forecast after tomorrow morning, and highs both days will be relatively nice, around 80 degrees. We'll have a little bit of a drop in the temperature between today and tomorrow. When we get to Friday, though, we'll have a slight chance of rain creeping back into the forecast, and that's going to stick around for the weekend. 30% chance of rain on Friday, with highs sticking around 80 degrees, and then a 40% chance of rain on Saturday, and a 60% chance of rain on Sunday with cloudy skies all weekend long. Highs both days will be in the upper 70s, so at least we'll have the nice seasonable or reasonable temperatures for you for the weekend. 7:19 is the time here at WCHL Studios. In a controversial move, UNC system leaders voted unanimously on Friday to overturn a UNC Chapel Hill decision to allow students of the opposite gender to live in the same university dorm suites or apartments. Proponents of the gender-neutral housing plan said the UNC Board of Governors' decision on Friday was based on misinformation. Still an ongoing controversy. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
I think our frustration is if people are actually hearing what the program is about, they tend to support the idea.
That's Rick Bradley, UNC Chapel Hill's Associate Director of Housing and Residential Education. Bradley said the Board of Governors' decision affecting all of the system's 16 campuses was not a surprise, and his department was alerted by university officials that the board was considering banning the policy. Though Carolina students began moving back to campus on August 17th, Bradley explained that the heads-up gave them time to remove the program and find alternate housing for the four students who had signed up, three females and one male. Some UNC students championed the policy for more than a year, saying it would provide a safe option for LGBTQ students who might be targeted because of their sexualities. The UNC Board of Trustees voted last November to allow gender-neutral housing, backed by former UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe.
I'd say that it's disappointing, and I think in most cases when people take the time to kind of hear what this program really was about and what it's not about, as the Board of Trustees at our university did, they voted unanimously in favor of it upon hearing what it is actually involved in it.
Bradley said he has heard a number of assumptions circulating, one being that gender-neutral housing was a taxpayer issue, which is something he said is incorrect.
Our department does not receive any state-supported funding, so student rent dollars pays totally all of our overhead, and so we receive no state funding, so I'm not sure that it has a connection to a state funding issue.
32 spaces were made available to students as part of the program, two dorms and Ram Village apartments. It would have allowed students of the opposite gender to share common living spaces and bathrooms, but Bradley explained that a male and female still would not have been allowed to live in the same room.
I think lots of times we've heard that people are referencing that a student could randomly be assigned with someone of the opposite gender, and this has always been an opt-in program, so it would have been of their choosing to live in this environment, so there would not have been any surprise assignments from anyone.
However, for this upcoming school year, males and females will now be able to live together if they are married, siblings, or a parent and child. UNC System President Tom Ross declined to comment on the board's decision Friday, but Chairman Peter Hans offered this.
Our board wants every student to be safe and comfortable and included. The board believes there are more practical ways to achieve those goals than assigning young men and young women to the same dorm rooms and campus suites.
32 public institutions and 66 private institutions across the country provide a gender-neutral housing option, according to UNC's website. Three private North Carolina universities offer the option, one of which is Duke. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
7:22 the time here at WCHL Studios. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, presented this hour by Franklin Street Realty. While we are only 16 days away from kickoff of the first game of the Tar Heels 2013 football season, taking on South Carolina and its Heisman hopeful defensive end Jadeveon Clowney, UNC football coach Larry Fedora, his usual energetic self, speaking to reporters after Carolina's morning practice yesterday, saying he was worried about Clowney.
I'd be worried if it was our five offensive linemen going against just him. You know, yeah, I'd be worried. He's a great player, and we know that. But we haven't started focusing on South Carolina yet. Right now, we're still preparing for a 14-game season.
But ultimately, Fedora says one of the most intriguing head-to-head matchups in that South Carolina game is going to be Clowney versus Tar Heels offensive lineman James Hurst.
I would imagine the however many millions of people that are going to turn that TV on, it ought to be a pretty fun situation for him because, he's a good player.
To read the story and to follow all the latest on Tar Heel football preseason training, you can view our website, chapelboro.com. A lot of talk about Jadeveon Clowney heading into the season and this particular game, but it might all be for nothing. South Carolina head football coach Steve Spurrier told the media yesterday that he could sit out the North Carolina game, Clowney could, if he doesn't return to practice soon. Might have just been trying to send a message to him, but at least that is up in the air as a possibility. According to NBC Sports, Clowney has been in and out of practice due to a shoulder injury and previously a knee injury. And after yesterday's practice, Spurrier told the media, quote, "If Clowney's shoulder doesn't come around real soon, we may play without him the first game." He went on to mention that a number of players, quote, "act like they are really hurt," and that he'll, quote, "handle those guys." Oh, Steve Spurrier, don't ever change. With less than 3 weeks to kick off, Tar Heel fans will likely be keeping an eye on number 7 and the amount of time he's able to practice. 7:24 here at WCHL Studios. Time now for
our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Carolina and ACC fans had better get ready for Monday night basketball. This is our Chansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. The NFL made Monday night sports watching popular, and the networks have long looked for good programming to keep the sports audience tuning in. But Monday night has never been part of Carolina basketball from what I can recall. I am sure the Tar Heels have played on Monday somewhere along the line, but the biggest game on the first day of the work week I can remember was all the way back to January 1971. UNC's young team that would go on to win the NIT when that tournament meant something held the ball in bigger, stronger South Carolina and stunned the undefeated and top-ranked Gamecocks of Frank McGuire when they finally came out to chase in raucous Carmichael Auditorium. As TV took over the college game, Big Monday became the purview of the Big East in the early game and the Big 12 in the nightcap of an ESPN doubleheader. I know Roy Williams loved Big Monday because most weeks he could come home from practice and watch his old Big 12 brethren battle it out. High schools don't play until Tuesday, so he was spared from recruiting that night as well. If you ever doubted that money now runs college athletics, there is no better example than what has happened to Big Monday moving forward. What's left of the old Big East has become a basketball-only conference. Without Syracuse, Pitt, Notre Dame, Louisville, and UConn, the new so-called Catholic League with leftovers Georgetown, Providence, St. John's, Villanova, and Marquette being joined by Butler, Creighton, and Xavier obviously doesn't carry the same ratings clout as the expanded ACC. So hello, Big Monday. There will be 8 Big Monday games, and UNC is in 3 of them, at Virginia on January 20th, at Florida State on February 17th, and at home v. Notre Dame on March 3rd. He is hoping old Roy winds up with a strong enough roster that he'll enjoy playing on Big Monday as much as watching it from his living room. By the way, Virginia has also won three times. Duke, Notre Dame, Syracuse, and lame duck Maryland twice. Pitt and FSU won one each. The Big 12 still plays the second game of the nationally televised twin bill, which means more Kansas, Kansas, Kansas. For us, other than having to change our viewing habits, the biggest thing playing on Monday means is that the Heels won't be playing on Sunday that week. And we'll know the details if they ever get around to releasing the ACC basketball schedule. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
What most people see as their golden years, some people see as their golden opportunity. To stay active, to travel, to begin a new chapter. If you're over 60 and young at heart, we invite you to explore the Cedars of Chapel Hill in the vibrant, multi-generational Metamont community. We understand that you want things taken care of, even though you don't need to be taken care of. The Cedars offers you all the independence and financial benefits of owning your own home without all the hassles. We'll handle everything so you can pursue other goals. And more importantly, you can enjoy the peace of mind that comes from having a continuing health care plan in place should you need it. Retirement is no longer a 5 or 10 year plan. People live longer, and this next phase of your life is a journey unto itself. We'll be with you every step of the way. Call 919-259-7000 to learn more about life at the Cedars. That's 259-7000. Life has been good to you. At the Cedars, it gets even better.
Dale Earnhardt Jr., Nationwide Insurance member.
Nationwide is on your side. I've been saying it for years, but why should you believe it? Well, Nationwide puts members first because they don't have shareholders. To join the nation, contact a local Nationwide agent today.
Call Mark Vitale, Nationwide Insurance, today at 919-933-4000. Visit Nationwide Square at 1289 North Fordham Boulevard or allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval. Paid endorsement. Not all Nationwide companies are mutual companies. Not all policyholders are members of a mutual company. Rights and benefits determined by policy language, company bylaws, and applicable law.
Betty Davis famously said, "Getting old is not for sissies." What she didn't say is that dealing with aging loved ones is no easy task either. HomeWatch Caregivers gives you the support you need for your loved ones. From simple companionship to comprehensive personal care, its trained staff gives you peace of mind. You can relax knowing your family member is well taken care of. HomeWatchCaregivers.com or call 919-960-6038. HomeWatch Caregivers. Let our family care for yours.
Are you looking for a great local deal? Have you checked out our local deal? What are you waiting for? It's as easy as 1, 2, and 3. 1, visit OurLocalDeal.com. 2, enter your email address. And 3, you'll start receiving great daily deals right into your inbox for great local businesses and services. So don't wait. Every day you wait is another great deal you've missed out on. Visit OurLocalDeal.com and sign up today.
There's no price like Half Price, and there's no deal like OurLocalDeal.com.
Football season just around the corner for UNC. Also just around the corner, women's soccer season. ACC coaches poll just came out. All but one of the ACC men's soccer coaches say North Carolina will win the ACC crown this season. They are, of course, the defending national champions. Florida State, the only other team that got a first-place vote in that poll. Tar Heels returning 8 starters from last season, including Crystal Dunn, the Mack Herman Trophy winner and ACC Defensive Player of the Year, and the NCAA Women's College Cup Most Outstanding Offensive and Defensive Players, Kalia Ojai and Satara Murray, respectively. Quick look at weather brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving fresh brewed coffee fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruisers, good to go. Right now, 72 degrees in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsboro. Nice out there right now, but we do have a good chance of rain later on today. Expect thunder showers to begin at noon and continue for the rest of the afternoon. 70% chance of rain today with highs in the upper 80s, overnight lows in the upper 60s. Then tomorrow and Thursday, a couple of nice days with partly cloudy skies, highs around 80.
CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
We should be talking about more access to the polls, not less.
But NAACP leader William Barber says fewer people will be voting under North Carolina's new law. It requires, among other things, voter ID. Governor Pat McCrory says it's common sense.
You need a photo ID to board an airplane, to cash a check, or even apply for most government benefits.
Barber insists.
We've not needed anything like this in 237 years of voting in this state. It's been proven that voter ID is a solution in search of a problem.
The law signed yesterday also ends same-day registration and shortens the early voting period.
There is no basis for the assertion that
reducing the early voting period or ending same-day registration is somehow going to prevent voter fraud.
Dale Ho with the American Civil Liberties Union. It and the NAACP are filing lawsuits over the rules that take effect in 2016. CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
7:32 is the time. I am Aaron Keck filling in for Ron Stutz this week. Good to be with you on this Tuesday morning again. Nice weather out there right now, but keep your umbrellas handy. It's going to be rainy this afternoon. As CBS News just reported, Governor Pat McCrory signed the voter ID bill into law. Still a controversial issue, and the process isn't over yet. NAACP and others are pressing ahead with a lawsuit. The ACLU announced that it and two other groups filed a lawsuit challenging that bill within hours of the signing yesterday. That signing by Governor McCrory made us the 34th state to require identification to vote. WCHL's Rand Northam has details on the law.
The bill requires a form of government-issued photo ID to be able to vote, not including student ID or out-of-state driver's licenses. As part of the voter ID bill, North Carolinians can no longer register on Election Day. Early voting periods are limited from 17 days to 10 days, and 16 and 17-year-olds who would be eligible to vote on Election Day are not allowed to pre-register. The bill also eliminates early voting on Sundays. Voters must give any updates about changes of address or other changes at least 25 days in advance of Election Day. The time polls can stay open can no longer be extended, even if there are long lines that will prevent everyone from getting a chance to vote. Political parties are now allowed to send 10 observers to different voting precincts to monitor voting on Election Day and give citizens the authority to challenge the legality of someone else's voting if they live in the same county. Straight ticket voting, which allows a voter to check a box saying they are voting for all of the Republican or all of the Democratic candidates on a ballot, is now gone as well. Voters who show up at the wrong precinct are no longer given a provisional ballot so they can vote properly. Individuals can now donate up to $5,000 to political campaigns, up from the previous $4,000. The bill was initially held in the Senate to see what the Supreme Court's decision in the Voting Rights Act case would be. With the Supreme Court striking down part of the Voting Rights Act in June, states like North Carolina, with a history of racially motivated voter suppression, no longer need federal approval to make changes to voting laws. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
As much, if not more than anything else, that voter ID bill was the proposal that sparked the NAACP's Moral Monday protest back in late April. 4 months later, that movement has made national news and clogged the court system as well, with more than 900 arrests at those Moral Monday protests, and it appears that our courts will be dealing with those cases for many months to come. We reported yesterday that just the initial court appearances alone could stretch into next year. But the Wake County District Attorney is now offering a course of action that could make the process shorter for some arrestees, not to mention the system itself. Wake County DA Colin Willoughby says arrested protesters can agree to a deferred prosecution where one would agree to the court's punishment without admitting guilt.
We offered them deferred prosecution and treated the cases similar to other civil disobedience cases that we'd had earlier this year, like Occupy Raleigh.
In agreeing to deferred prosecution, a Moral Monday arrestee would agree to 25 hours of community service and a $160 fine without having to admit guilt.
It's typical for nonviolent offenses to offer deferred prosecution.
With many protesters still awaiting their first court appearance, Willoughby says the DA's offer would not cut out the legal process outright, just streamline it.
It's available to those persons when they come to court.
Among the more than 900 arrested protesters include members of the Orange County, Chapel Hill, and Carborough governments. Among those, though, so far only Michelle Johnson of the Carborough Board of Aldermen has had a court appearance. Back in Chapel Hill, adding to an already high graduation rate, Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools had an increase by almost 3% in both the four-year and five-year graduation rates in 2013. Good news, that according to the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction. Superintendent Tom Fursella said the good news is due to a system-wide effort.
If I had to give credit to anything, I think it's the hard work of our teachers in our classrooms, but even more so, over the last couple of years, we've created a philosophy that really builds on a culture where all of our teachers believe that effort creates ability.
The DPI's cohort graduation report showed that high school students in the class of 2013 had a graduation rate of 92.6%. That's a 2.6% increase over the 2012 graduation rate. The five-year cohort rate for students who started high school in 2008 and graduated by 2013 increased to 93.5%. That's up 2.5% from 2012. Here again, Tom Priscilla.
Really shown up with some of our neediest populations and them working harder, and our teachers providing very specific strategies to help them with their learning, and this is beginning to pay off.
Of course, teachers in North Carolina haven't seen much of a payoff themselves lately. According to the National Education Association, North Carolina ranks 46th in the nation for teacher pay.
Bad as we think morale can be, and I know teachers are down because they haven't had a raise in so many years, and they don't seem to be getting the respect that they deserve. Teachers go into this business to help children, and when those students walk in the door, I find that they just put all of their effort into helping the kids.
For more information on statewide graduation rates, you can read this article on our website, chapelboro.com. Meanwhile, a battle to shape perception over whether North Carolina's public school spending is being cut or is just right is heating up with the traditional academic year less than a week away for school districts in the Mountain Counties. North Carolina Association of Educators and other groups demonstrated yesterday in Charlotte to protest what they see as lawmakers harming public education this year. Similar rallies are planned for the rest of this week in other cities around the state, including Wilmington, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, Raleigh, Asheville, and Greenville. The complaint include that this year's $21 billion state budget gives public schools $117 million less than what they would have had if lawmakers changed nothing and accounted for increased enrollment and inflation. Republican lawmakers countering that they increased education spending by $360 million over last year. 7:38 is the time here at WCHL Studios, and it is the month of August, and we are feeling generous. If you've been following us for the last couple of weeks, you know this already. All month long, here on the Morning News every single day, we're giving away gift cards to some of your favorite local restaurants. One a day every weekday to some lucky winner. Those gift cards include 411 West, Buns, Dickie's Barbecue, Elmo's Diner, Glass Half Full, Mez, Page Road Grill, Spanky's Squids, and Tobacco Road Sports Cafe. Something for everyone, and for most of you, a lot of things. All you've got to do is visit WCHL's Facebook contest page and submit your entry anytime during the month of August to have a chance to win one of those gift cards. We pick a winner every day. Today's winner, and I hope I'm pronouncing the last name correctly, today's winner is Kristen Polzian of Chapel Hill. Congratulations to you. I've got this little glass bowl here full of different gift cards. I don't know if you can hear it, but I'm drawing out the winning gift card for today. And Kristen, you have won $50 to Buns, $50 gift card to Buns Restaurant in downtown Chapel Hill. Congratulations to you, Kristen Polzian, winner of a $50 gift card to Buns. You, if you are not Kristen Polzian, still have a chance to win later on this month. Go to our Facebook contest page, WCHL, enter today, and then tune into the WCHL Morning News with me, and then later on with Ron every day for the rest of the month. It's Gift Card Mania right here on WCHL. 7:40 is the time. Back in just a couple minutes with more.
The Orange County Senior Centers will host a Medicare fraud event. The purpose is to help seniors to protect themselves from Medicare fraud, waste, and abuse. The event will take place on Wednesday, September 18th from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Seymour Center in Chapel Hill, followed by an afternoon session in Hillsboro at the Central Orange Senior Center from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. For more information, call the Senior Medicare Patrol at 877-996-2767.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. You know, Kit, a lot of people look at buying or selling a house as a competition where there is a clear winner and a clear loser.
I know what you mean, but in my experience...
And that would be vast.
The best deals are the ones where the sellers feel they didn't get quite enough and the buyers are sure they paid a little too much.
So not like the sleazeball in the tailored suit on Bravo's million-dollar listing, the one who says, you haven't done anything right until someone wants you dead. Geez, at Franklin Street Realty, our agents simply do not let let ego get in the way. In fact, the men were selected for low testosterone levels.
Oh, Sammy, don't sell yourself short. The truth is, you don't have to read The Art of War to be a good negotiator. You need focus, experience, and flexibility, what you get from our agents. Plus, even the talking heads have come around to our position. There has never been a better time to buy a house, period.
Lower asking prices, lower interest rates, a lot to choose from. Find your new house at franklinstreetrealty.com.
Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
7:42 here at WCHL Studios. You're listening to the morning news on WCHL. On our website, chapelboro.com, we've got new stuff every day, new sports, and a whole lot more. And joining us now to talk about what's new in the last 24 hours, our owner, Ann Northam.
Thank you very much, Aaron. Yeah, Greg Barbera is a name we've been hearing a lot of lately. And he's back with another restaurant review, this of City Kitchen. Now, that's formerly Spice Street. He got the full treatment from the staff there and breaks down everything with great photos as well. You'll want to check that out. Barbera is the former managing editor of All About Beer, so he knows about that, but knows about restaurant reviews as well. Certainly a great one to check out. D.G. Martin has a new column up where he apologizes, sort of his most recent controversial column where he may or may not have implied that the North Carolina GOP were acting on the Nazi-ish side.
And so that is it's a really good column by D.G., and I think we'll have comments from him later on this week as well. But that's an issue that has sparked a lot of really strong commentary. We've had a couple commentaries already about this, so it's definitely something to check out.
Yeah, definitely. A great breakdown of what he truly intended in that article. And the shortlist voting begins today. Keep an eye out for that. The best place for back-to-school shopping. We've got the submissions in, so now of those submissions, you can vote for which one you think is best, and that will be up for a week. And you can find out more by signing up for the Insider's newsletter. And mention Greg Barbera. He's been writing a lot for us. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of great writers out there. And you can be a writer as well very easily just by emailing us. You can send an email to jordan@chapelboro.com, and he'll get you signed up on that list. But we've got so many great people locally who write for us. Lots of local opinions and many that conflict with each other. And that's the best thing to read, is a conflicting opinion.
Yes.
So you can send an email to Jordan, and we'd love to have you on our website, chapelboro.com. Lots more than we can even scratch the surface of talking about. You can find it all on our website, chapelboro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, 7:44 is the time. Time now to keep things going with the commentators.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Wiley Post. Sometimes I wonder what crazy bills to look forward to coming out of Raleigh, but then I realize the inmates have been released. Now all we have to worry about is our puppet governor signing any of these bad bills. Since taking control of the governorship and tightening their control of the state legislature in 2012, Republicans have turned North Carolina into a prime example of destruction that occurs when the GOP has complete power in any state. Over the past 7 months, conservatives have made efforts to enact extreme right-wing policies that have turned the state into a national laughingstock and one of the worst states to live. Here's just a few of the many ways Republicans have harmed North Carolina. Voter suppression laws. In one giant bill, North Carolina Republicans are punishing families of the college students who vote out of state, slashed early voting from 7 to 10 days, eliminates same-day voter registration, requires a photo ID that can't be a student ID, public assistance ID, or even a public employee ID. This will disenfranchise women, the elderly, young, poor, and minorities. Anti-abortion laws. North Carolina Republicans are so obsessed with abortions that they just passed a series of measures within a completely unrelated motorcycle safety bill that will close all but one abortion clinic in our state. Forces teachers to lie to seventh graders that abortion causes miscarriage and premature births later on in life. Bars state health insurance exchanges from covering abortion under Obamacare and strips public employees from being able to cover abortion through their own plans. Is it safe to say that North Carolina has become the most backward state in the nation, and the Republican Party is squarely to blame, proving that state elections are just as important as national elections? But don't worry, our governor has it all covered. Just let him eat cookies. This is Wiley Post.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL. What you're saying on the street. Presented by ISIS IT. what you're saying on the street.
I'm Rand Northam. Chapel Hill Carborough is changing every day. We hit the streets to find out what you think is the biggest change and how you feel about it.
My name is Bill Smith, and I live in Chapel Hill. Well, I've lived here a very long time, so a lot has changed. It's more urban. When I came here, they used to call it the village, and it's certainly not one now.
My name's Kev McHugh, and I live in Oak Grove community. The size, triple in size. Yeah, just a lot of people, a lot of people.
I'm Lisa Webster, and I live in Snow Camp, North Carolina. 40-some years. The population, just people on top of people.
My name is Jenna Cohen, and I live in Durham. Some of what's changing the most is the way the town is the town is continuing to shift around gentrification.
My name's Stuart Krall. I live in White Cross. Just the number of people, quite frankly.
What are the biggest changes you're seeing to your local community, and how do you feel about them?
Jean Parker. I live in Pittsboro. I work down the street here on Weaver Street. I've been working here for 24 years. A lot of people have moved here, but also a lot of good things. Carborough, like a recycling program. Weaver Street wasn't here, the Holistic Health Center.
I'm Janet Bratter. I've been living in the Carborough-Chapel Hill area since 92, off and on, sort of a home base. The usual things, more people, and therefore more building and more automobiles and so forth.
I live in Chapel Hill. My name is Virginia French. Traffic. Well, Weaver Street is a change, and I like Weaver Street. That's one thing.
Yeah, I'm Joe Gulla. I'm Carborough. Well, I've lived here for 20 years, so it's really developed quite a bit in the last 20 years. But it's kept some of its, a lot of its charm, I would say. Weaver Street Market's part of that.
My name is Marcus, and I live in Carborough. I just see Chapel Hill just building up, and then most things they're building, they're not really using. They're just building it, and then they either go bankrupt or something else. Then what they do have, they're not even using them. They're just sitting there.
That's what you're saying on the street. On 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at IGotFixed.com.
Fitch Lumber and Hardware has been around for a century because they pay attention to their customers. They've got everything you need for your home projects, large and small, and take time to offer you as much or as little advice and helpful tips as you need. The staff is experienced, knowledgeable, and available when you need assistance. Just one of the reasons they've been voted best hardware store in Orange and Chatham counties for 4 years in a row by the Independent Weekly. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carborough, so stop by or give them a call at 942-3153.
All right, welcome back to the WCHL Morning News, 7:49 the time, and this traffic report is brought to you by Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace, serving the best-tasting fountain drinks in town. Made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees, guaranteed to taste great at Cruiser's. Good to go. Now with traffic, once again, Rand Northam.
Another good morning this morning, Aaron, and traffic moving smoothly in it. I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway not reporting any accidents or delays. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Continuing now with your weather report, this one is brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Stop in for a quick lunch and select from 8 juicy smoked meats and fresh sides. Dickie's Barbecue Pit in Durham, just off of Mount Moriah Road. Right now we're looking at 72 degrees and mostly sunny out there right now in the area. We've got rain developing later on today, though. 70% chance of rain in the afternoon. Expect thunderstorms to begin shortly after noon and continue throughout the better part of the rest of the day. Highs today will be in the upper 80s, so another hot and humid one. Overnight lows down in the upper 60s tonight, with that chance of rain gradually diminishing overnight. And then a couple of nice days tomorrow and Thursday. Slight chance of rain tomorrow morning, clearing up pretty quickly, and then we'll have partly sunny skies for the rest for the next 2 days, with highs around 80 degrees. 7:51 is the time, and it's time now, as always, for Wayne Pond's Word of the Day. And joining us now via the magic of telephone, the man himself, Dr. Wayne Pond. Dr. Pond, good morning.
Hey, big guy. I'll tell you, I know you never sleep. You're always aware of the news and the weather. Did the rain wake you up the way it did us last night?
I was actually still awake, as you could probably have guessed. But
down.
it really came on so quickly. I wasn't expecting it to rain at all, and then just it was really very hard, very fast.
Yeah, well, it woke us up, but you know, then put us back to sleep. So
yeah.
All of which has nothing at all in the world to do with the price of eggs in Philadelphia. Namely, the word of the day. The word of the day is dermatoglyphics. Dermatoglyphics. Here, bright young fellow that you are, you'll be able to figure this one out.
Oh, yeah.
D-E-R, D as in dog, D-E-R-M-A-T-O-G-L-Y-P-H-I-C-S.
I wrote it down right. Good.
All
right, so, all
right, well, then
okay, I'm going to guess.
You with the spelling. I won't trouble you with the spelling again. Can you tell me what you think dermatoglyphics is all about?
Derma is skin. Glyphics, I think of hieroglyphics, so I'm going to guess tattoos.
Well, you're certainly on the, you and Queequeg, on the right track there.
Without getting swallowed by a whale, hopefully.
This is true. This is a term, according to the wordsmith, that comes into common parlance, at least amongst physicians, I suppose, in the early part of the 20th century, coined by a physician whose name has absolutely nothing to do with the price of eggs in Philadelphia. It's all about ridge patterns of the skin. It's related, dermatoglyphics related to fingerprints.
Yes.
But not exactly the same thing. The scientific
Would fingerprints
study,
be a type of dermatoglyphics?
Well, don't press me. Don't
okay,
press
good.
Me. I'm running out of luck here already. And I can hear the physicians in your, the legions of physicians in your audience cringing at this discussion.
Yeah.
All right. Ridge patterns on the skin. The inner surface of the hands and the feet. That's as much as you'll get from me.
All right. Physicians probably cringing because they're going, we have everything to do with the price of eggs in Philadelphia. What are you talking about?
there's a quantum leap in the logical universe.
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, you got the word of the day. Have fun with it. Take care of it. Nurture it. Put it back in this little box, and I'll talk to you in the morning.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Wayne.
Bye.
All right. That was the word of the day, dermatoglyphics. Remember the spelling, remember the definition, ridge patterns in the skin. We'll give you a chance to call in next hour around this time, and you can win a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Wayne's Word of the Day brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? 7:54 right now, time now for the clean joke of the day. Without any further ado, we turn to Ron Stutz.
97.9 FM, WCHL. Time now for the clean joke of the day. And here is Lauren Stafford.
How are you doing, Ron?
Fantastic, and I hope you are.
I'm doing great. Have a good joke? I think I have a good joke.
Fantastic, good.
And so I'm excited to tell it.
Lay it on me.
Have you ever had a guard dog?
A guard dog?
Yeah, you know, you ever had a kind of dog that was really good at anybody stepped outside, barks?
Yeah, sure.
That's my dog.
Oh, yeah?
So when I got this joke.
Yeah, but your dog is like 5 pounds.
the people on the other side of the door don't know that.
The one I had was like 100
bark.
Pounds.
he's 9 pounds.
Okay.
And he's a very tough guard dog.
I'm sure.
He's 9 pounds, but I think he thinks he's 90 pounds.
Yeah,
like
Bugsy,
all good small dogs.
Bugsy has an aggressive attitude.
Yes.
Say that much.
That's why his nickname is Bugsy Malone. All right, this is called Pet Shop Parrot.
Okay.
A man was robbed the other night.
Right.
So he went to buy a guard dog from the nearby pet shop. The pet shop had a ferocious dog for sale, and the man thought the dog was perfect. So he asked the pet shop owner how much for the dog. The pet shop owner replies, oh, I can't sell you that dog. He's best friends with that parrot over there. It would devastate them both to be separated. So the man says, well, then I'll take them both. So he goes home with a new parrot and a guard dog.
Right.
Later that night, the robber from the other night returns. He begins to climb up a tree to the same window he used last time. As he's climbing the tree, he hears an eerie voice saying, Jesus is watching you. Slightly confused, he continues to climb the tree. He reaches the branch closest to the window and hears the eerie voice again. Jesus is watching you. Even more confused and now slightly worried, he looks in the window and sees the parrot, who eerily says, Jesus is watching you. Relieved, the robber thinks, oh, it's just a religious parrot, nothing to worry about. The robber opens the window and goes in. He takes one step and all of a sudden hears, sick him, Jesus.
What would Jesus do?
Jesus do? Exactly.
That's great.
A great name.
I've
for
heard
a
version of that joke before, but not quite like that. Thanks a lot.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Dace Bergen at the Chapel Hill Fire Department has nominated Johnny Parker as today's WCHL Hometown Hero. Tell me about Johnny Parker. What's so special about him?
Well, Johnny is a deputy fire marshal here at the Chapel Hill Fire Department. And what's most notable about Johnny, aside from he is incredibly knowledgeable and he has a great ability to apply fire code. But besides that, beside being very technically proficient, he also has just spent an awful lot of time and extra effort in helping take care of the town and doing that through, of course, plans review and also new construction inspections and periodic inspections. In addition to that, one of the other things that he does for the town as a fire marshal is conducts fire safety training and fire drills and inspections for all the fraternities and sororities in the town.
Boy, I bet that's a giant task.
Yeah, he heads up that program for us, and he's done very well with it for the past several years now.
Dace, when people think about firefighters in Chapel Hill, they think of actually being on the scene and putting out fires and all the heavy equipment and everything else, but it sounds like in addition to that, Johnny Parker also does a lot of good work behind the scenes.
Absolutely. What code officials do primarily, other than keeping tenants safe as they come in and out of commercial buildings, is the construction side of it, where they enforce rules and regulations that ensure that the fire code is met when the building is built. And that includes looking at how the fire department would access the building if it had a fire, ensuring that the building has the correct fire protection, whether it's a fire alarm system or a fire sprinkler system, looking at hydrant placement of fire department connections. So it's all about upfront work. It's making it easy for the firefighters, if there is a fire when they show up, that the building's well protected and it's easy to put out if there is a fire, and that it reduces the danger to the firefighters.
Johnny Parker is a veteran Chapel Hill firefighter.
He came to work with us about 20 years ago, and he worked at the Carrboro Fire Department for a couple of years before coming here. He rode a fire truck for about 10 or 12 years, got promoted to captain, and then went into the fire marshal's office and has been in the fire marshal's office for about 10 years now, and he's a deputy fire marshal.
Our thanks to Dace Bergen, and congratulations, Johnny Parker, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru, but we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
All right, 7:59 is the time. CBS News at the top of the hour coming up in just a few seconds. 73 degrees out there in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, 71 in Hillsboro. Partly cloudy skies, nice morning, but it is going to rain this afternoon. Expect thunderstorms to begin at around noon or so, and we'll have a 70% chance of rain for the rest of the day, with highs in the upper 80s.
Ron Stutz in the morning. Progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Add it up for yourself. Commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship equals our community. Chapel Hill, where business...